Jack Savaretti.
Hi.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Thank you very much for having me. Molto bene. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. So lovely seeing you again, Mr. Sold Out Across the World, Mr. Jack Savaretti, who I've known 100 years.
We're getting
and now
there.
Look, I mean, I can't, you know.
It's taken me 100 years.
No! I try and get a ticket for your gigs. This is so exciting, Jack.
I'm sure we can get you on a list.
No, but that's very kind, but I just mean it. You must feel now, you know, from all the years of knowing you, this is, you say Jack Savaretti and people go, oh, I've got a ticket. Oh, I've got the new album. Oh, the new single. It's that buzz is there. You must feel really.
It definitely feels like a buzz good. That I wasn't, and I'm not saying this in a faux modest way. Like, we weren't expecting it. You know, we've been doing this for 20 years, but I don't know. The last few years have been complicated. First COVID, then I went and made an Italian album, which was a little bit risky, to say the least.
And I loved it.
Thank you. So, well, I actually did better in the UK, I think, than it did in England, than it did in Italy. But I think it's just very heartwarming to see what we've built over the last 20 years coming to the surface, because it has been a slow grind.
And I've never feel like that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, with the Royal Albert Hall, which I think is what you're getting, yes. And when that sold out, I've never had a song that did the heavy lifting for us. Like, our fans have done the hard work. They've done the heavy lifting. They've done the word of mouth. They've passed it on. They're the reason that, like, you know, that's a perfect example of our fans surprising us, because they've built a community that has kind of allowed me to keep doing what I do. And that's going to be a very special night for myself, because it's a chance to say thank you, which I don't usually get to do face-to-face with the guys who got us here. And also, it's the Royal Albert Hall. I mean, I get to impress my kids for one night. I get to be a little bit of a hero.
Oh, no, well, so you are cool. Anyway to them. But that's so no. Exciting. Okay.
Well, I'm going to be the Royal Albert Hall.
So this is April the 23rd.
Yeah, and then we're doing one in May. April is sold out. May is still, there's still a few tickets left.
Quick, I'm running now. I'm going to dig it quickly, really quickly. That's really interesting. I remember coming to the Roundhouse in London.
Yeah.
And the fans there were, solid fans.
Yeah.
It was, they absolutely love the music. They love what you're putting out. And it's very different than the sort of going, there's no hysteria. They actually, it's about you and your music. That must warm your heart.
It does. I mean, look, it's taken me to mature and to grow, to appreciate it more. I definitely took it for granted when I started out, as I think a lot of young people in this game do. But with time, and I think certain experiences, you know, the world closing down for almost a year made me realize how much I missed and needed and depended on these fans, on these people that, like, we don't exist without the listeners. And that was something I didn't, I mean, of course, you sort of think about it, but I think about it very differently now. And it's really hard to do that now. Like, I really feel for young musicians, people that are starting out now, because everything is so, I don't want to say it's just very quick. Everything's very quick.
Yeah,
I don't want to use
the word. Absolutely right.
So I know some artists that, you know, they'll have however many million, billion streams, but they can't sell 200 tickets because there isn't this community behind them. Not all, but it is really difficult to build
that
community.
That's really sad.
But it's. I don't know if it's sad. I think it is. It does break my heart to a degree, but I think it's what needs to change is the artist's approach. And they need to realize that this is a long game. It isn't something, it isn't just a moment of glory.
I think what I mean by sad is that the idea of everybody coming together, because I think music does bring people together. You know,
yeah,
it creates
sure.
memories, sad, happy, whatever. But when it brings people together at live gigs, that's just, you can sort of feel everybody's breath and you can, the heartbeats, and they know the songs and the singing along. And we do, I think probably because of COVID times, that community feel has slightly gone, which is very sad. So I understand for the young musicians, suddenly everybody coming to go to a live gig, it's changed.
It's definitely changed. But the thing I would say to people starting out is the quicker you realize it's not about you, it's about them, the quicker it becomes special. Because at the beginning, you do think everyone's there for you. And that can terrify you, or it can fill you with a tremendous amount of ego. But once you realize that they're there for them, they're there for themselves, like they need to be there. They want to be a part of that night. They want to have that experience. Then it's a very powerful, moving experience. And I think the audience reacts better when with an artist that realizes that the audience is there for themselves. I always think that makes for a much better show.
So tell me about the new album, the new single. Very exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, terrifying. It's kind of, every time I do this, I'm like, here we go again.
You always say that. That's really surprised me that you're still saying it's terrifying.
Because I care. I mean, I think if it wasn't scary, it's the same way before a show. My daughter performs at her school and she's like, I'm so nervous. And I was like, darling, if you weren't nervous, it means you wouldn't care. So enjoy and don't call it nervous. Call it excitement. So I'm excited. I'm
nurse-cited.
Not nervous. Nurse-cited. Is that you?
Nervous, excited. That's what
I like
we say
that.
In the family.
I nurse-cited. Like that. Nurse-cited.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm gonna take that one home.
Okay.
That's how I always try to change it. That's how I feel now with the new album, Nearsighted. I care about this one tremendously because this album, the process of this album has been the most rewarding, which I know sounds like a cliche that you hear all the time when artists make an album. No, this one is the one. But it's taken me 20 years to learn and how to do what I do and feel that it's mine. You have to imitate before you innovate, as Miles Davis said. And I feel like definitely now, when I say innovate, I know how to do what I want to do, and I don't have to imitate to get there anymore. This is definitely the first album where there is zero imitation. It's always snuck in, as one does, to learn the craft. But this one, it's taken me a while to learn how to make this one, but I think I finally did it.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it.
I
was sent the link to it, and I absolutely loved it. Tell me the story behind it, please.
There's not so much a story. It's more of a sort of, it's a gesture more than a story. It's letting the people you love know that, I'm here. I got you. I got your back. I'm hearing you out. It's reaching out to people you care about. And I heard something recently. How many people do you call with good news? And that's really something I think about all the time. Not just people you go to when there's a problem. Like, how many people do you go to and feel comfortable and unique and not like, you know, that you're supported when you give them good news? And this song was kind of derived from that. Like, telling people you've got their back. It's kind of an arm around the shoulder saying, tell me, how's it going? In a good way. Not always when it's necessarily just negative. Also, it's good to talk when there is something
talking
bad.
Talking is good, but you've always said that. You've always been somebody who
connection.
Advocates. Yeah, connection
for sure.
And talking to people and being very open and honest and everything.
I like to talk. I don't know if you've
keep
noticed.
Keep talking. We want you to keep talking. That's why we've got you here. Jack, like, can we go back to, you say, you know, you've been doing this for 20 years and everything.
Yeah.
And you say that now is full circle. If you went back 20 years and told you 20 years ago that you're going to be selling out the Albert Hall and that you're going to be touring all over the UK and Europe and that you're going to have recorded loads of albums that have been played across all networks, all radio networks. You're going to be doing, I mean, you do a vast amount for charity, so thank you. But would that 20 years ago, would you say, nah, or would you say, yes, this is what, how would you be now?
What took you so long?
Really? Is that it?
No. Some things I thought I would have been able to, I hate the word accomplish, because that really means that there's an expectation, which I have every fault there is in the book, but the one thing I don't have in my makeup is expectations. So, and I'm quite relieved because I'd be a nightmare if you added that to the bunch of flaws I have. But luckily I don't have expectations, so I don't have a sense of accomplishment. I have a tremendous obsession and addiction to process. Like, I like the process of things. I don't really, I wouldn't use the word care, but I don't really ever think about the result that much as, like, what am I getting in the here and now from the process.
So you live in the moment?
When I'm doing something. I think that's why I like the process, because that's why I love music, because it removes you from anything but the present. Like, whereas otherwise, I'm very nostalgic. Like, if you leave me alone in a room, I'll reminisce. I'll stare at a wall and think about a past I probably didn't even live. Like, I'll romanticize about the future and I'll romanticize about the past. But when I'm doing something, when I have that luxury of a process, which to me is predominantly making music, I'm in the moment. And that's when I feel very much at ease. So if I were to go back, I would say to that guy, don't ever lose that. Like, stick with the process. Don't do it for the results. Don't do it for the rewards. Don't worry about the failures. Don't do it about the ups and the downs, the yays and the noes. Like, enjoy the process. Keep focusing on what you're doing, when you're doing it, and who you're doing it with.
And do you enjoy that?
I love that. I'm addicted to that. It's the rest I don't enjoy. I get really, it can go quite dark, but it can also get quite, like, just confused if I'm not in the process of my own design. I guess that's somewhat of a form of a little bit control freak, but I just really appreciate the process. When it becomes about, once the process is done, I get a little bit overwhelmed. And so I'll look for outlets in other ways, and then it can get a little bit dangerous and confusing and complicated. But as long as I'm in the game, it's a bit like a I guess it goes back to when I used to play football. Like in the 90 minutes, I'm in the game. It's the before and after that.
The before, yeah.
I was a disaster.
Let's talk family now, because you talk so beautifully about your family. Have we got any musicians, up and coming musicians?
All of them. I got a drum kit. I got a little drum kit for my son who's just turned 11, and he's naturally taken to the drums. And over Easter, we brought it into the living room where the piano is and the guitar, so that we could actually jam. And I had this incredible jam session with my daughter on the piano, my son on the drums, and me playing guitar. I mean, it was the Von Trapps gone wrong. And it was so fabulous. And what I knew that it was a magic moment, because my wife, who's an artist, a beautiful painter, who really never engages that much musically with us, suddenly in the last last week has basically been sat at the drums every day trying to learn the beat to Billie Jean. So whatever we did has inspired her. So I think my son has inspired her to also pick up the drums. So now we've got 5-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and I won't say my wife's age, but grown-ups playing the drums all day.
Oh, your beautiful, lovely wife. But no, can't she? She could paint it. While you're all doing it.
She doesn't want to. She wants to be jamming now. Something's changed.
You've changed her. Yeah. You've changed her after all these years. I wanted to talk about the Italian album.
Yeah.
There is one that I'm obsessed with.
Which is the one you're obsessed
with? No, I'm just obsessed with your...
Oh.
You don't have to
say.
Because I love that in Italian.
But it was originally written in Italian. People don't know this. Dusty Springfield was a guest at the San Remo Festival. And Pino Donaggio, who actually won that year, he won with Io che non vivo, which the lyrics are not really the same. The lyrics in Italian are phenomenal. I'm not saying that the lyrics in English are bad, but I think apparently...
What's the direct translation then? You don't have to say you love
I who can't live a day without you, how am I supposed to live a lifetime without you?
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
that's like it's a bit more poetic than you don't have to say you love me. You don't have to say you love me is genius because it's colloquial. And this is the argument I always have. In English, colloquial works. If you're too poetic in English, it's a bit corny. In Italian, if you're colloquial, it's corny. You have to use poetry for it to have purpose. It's the complete opposite. So and I only learned this when I went to Italy and learned how to songwrite in Italian, because I was using all these colloquialisms. And they were like, dude, you can't say that. That's really cheesy. And I was like, but isn't the poetry cheesy? And they're like, no, poetry is craft, intellect, thought. Because in Italian, one word can have multiple meanings. If you know how to use that and play with that, then you really, that's an art form.
Italian, though, the Italian language is so beautiful. It sings by
itself.
It's
all vowels. That's why. I mean, that's why opera, if I'm not wrong, was born from Italy, in Italy, because it's all vowels. I, E, O, U. Lovely, like lovely things to sing. Not the tat, that. So German, actually, for some reason, works very well with opera, but only with opera. It has to be like elongated.
But it's
otherwise,
not the sing-songy. You know, German is, it fascinates me as a language. But not like Italian. Italian, you could say anything. Go on, say something to all of us. I mean, I do speak a bit of Italian, so I won't say anything.
What do I have to
but
say?
But say something to producer
say.
Felix, producer Harry. There's Emily here as well. Say something, and it can be really, really the blandest thing, but you say it in Italian. Say it in Italian first, and then we'll all just melt.
Oh, grazie per avermi qui con voi oggi.
See?
See?
Isn't that rather beautiful? Go on, now tell them what it was.
Thanks for having me.
See?
Yeah, but thanks for having me is so wonderfully monosyllabic. That's why English works globally, especially when it comes to music. It's just very, I don't know, monosyllabic. So it's very direct.
Yes, it is.
It's very direct.
That's why I prefer Italian. On the podcast, as it's called, Reasons to be Joyful, we talk about joy, and I think... I, your family. The minute you talk about your family, you sort of sparkle. I know they're your world, but also, I have to ask you: have you brought anything in that brings you joy?
Well, it's funny you mention it.
I didn't notice it. It's not small at all. Oh, God, that could be taken in so many ways. Right. Wow. Thank goodness this is the podcast and not the radio show. Right.
Especially because you said brings me joy.
Oh, we'll be keeping that in the podcast. Right. Yes, what have you brought in with you?
I brought my guitar.
Could you please bring your guitar up
yes.
for us?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Oh, no, we're all blushing now.
You got your advert for the podcast. That was... if that doesn't get people tuning in, I don't know what will.
So you have your guitar.
Yeah.
Is this... So How long have you had this actual guitar?
No, this is a new baby, but it's a rep. It's basically the same model. I have a version of this at home with a hole pretty much here, which I used for about 18 years. No, 15 years. And then once things started going well, I was able to buy four of the same kind of three of the same guitar that I take. So they're all, they don't make this anymore. This was the last model of this guitar ever made.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's basically a replica of the first ever classical guitar. So it looks like a classical guitar, not an acoustic guitar.
Anyway, it's very boring. Beautiful. No, it's not boring.
But it's a very, I think it's a very beautiful. It actually is one of the few acoustic guitars that looks like it could be in the Mediterranean.
It's very beautiful.
Rather than in Nashville.
Do you, so how old were you when you first picked up the guitar?
I was quite late because the first instrument I played was the drums.
Drums.
And it was actually just because I was so bored of waiting for guitarists to tune up. All my friends played guitar that I would sort of, okay, grab one, two, and tune up. And then it, for me, when I started, all my friends could play covers, they could play everything. And I could never learn other people's songs, but I could learn like two or three chords. And it was, I used to find it easier to make stuff up than to learn Blackbird or Sweet Home Alabama that everyone was playing. I used to just find it easier to use those three and make gobbledygook up. And then, is that the expression?
Gobbledygook. Yes.
I don't know why I forgot what that expression is. But I was about 15, I think.
And what was the first thing? Do you remember what the first thing was that you played?
I don't remember the first thing that I played.
Or that you wrote.
But I remember the first song that I wanted to... The first song I ever heard that I then wanted to like write like. It was a blueprint of my life. I was about the same age. I just discovered a guitar. I was on a business trip with my dad, and I bought a Simon & Garfunkel cassette at the airport. And I put it on, and Sound of Silence was there, and it was amazing. But then this one song came on, and it blew my mind that in like just under 3 minutes, I knew this character... felt for this character, was almost worried and concerned about this character. And I felt like I'd read a novel or watched a movie. And still like now, but especially when I was a kid, I had the attention span of a squirrel. And I was just fascinated that I was able, that this thing kept my attention. And until then, music had been fun. Like I was playing, even when we were playing in bands, I was playing punk, ska, like we were little skaters and snowboarders. So I was just doing loud, very energetic. And then I heard that and I was like, okay.
What was that song? Do you want to put it a little bit?
I'll give you a hint of it. I hear the drizzle of the rain like a memory it falls soft and slow continuing tapping on my roof and wall. From the shelter of my mind, through the windows of my eyes, I gaze beyond the rain-drenched streets to England, where my heart lies.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, he knows how to write a song.
Wow. So you're going to be doing 28 dates across 11 countries this autumn.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
The biggest tour to date.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
I'm just looking at the list. You're going, obviously, Italy, Switzerland, Poland, Lithuania, Bucharest, all across the UK as well. It's really quite a year. It's the Jack Savaretti year.
I wouldn't go that far, but we're going to make it count.
I'm allowed to.
You're allowed to.
I'm not allowed to. Plymouth, Manchester, Glasgow, Dublin, Cardiff, Birmingham, and many more as well.
Yeah.
Jack, it's always such a joy to see you.
And I know you
look down when I say this, but you, the amount of work that you do for so many charities.
Right back at you.
I'm very lucky to introduce you on stage at these.
Thanks.
And you just give it your heart and soul, and it means the world to all of the charities.
Thanks very much,
so thank
Debbie.
You very much. But thank you for the music, and please never stop.
You too.
Jack Savaretti!
Thanks for having me.